Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Kedushin Daf Nun Hey. We begin right on top of the Amud with a Mishnah. Tanan Hasam, we have learned in a Mishnah in Maseches Shkolim. Behei Moshe Nimtzis. Mirushalayim L'Migdal Eder. Suppose a fellow is walking along the road. Right outside Yerushalayim, he discovers an animal roaming around, ownerless, unidentifiable. Now Rashi explains, for the most part, Roiv Behemos, which left Yerushalayim, Roiv Behemos Hayoytzeis Mimena Zevachimim, are presumed to be Karbonos, which were found in abundance in Yerushalayim. So this fellow encounters an animal running wild. And it's somewhere between Yerushalayim and the town of Migdal Eder, which was a town right next to Beis Lechem. So says the Rashbam. So let's say, it's 2 miles away. An animal found in that vicinity, between Yerushalayim and Migdal Eder, is suspected of being a carbon which escaped from Yerushalayim. Ukimidasa. And in the same distance, let's call it the 2 mile distance, 2 mile radius, in any direction outside Yerushalayim. So it's not necessarily to the south of Yerushalayim towards Migdal Eder. It's just sort of a mushal, it's just giving us a parameter. But any sort of any direction within this distance, within this radius, will have the same status. Ukimidas al-Chal Ruach, so if you find it anywhere within this vicinity, 2 miles within Yerushalayim's exterior. In any direction outside Yerushalayim, we treat it the same way, which is that if it's zecharim, if you find a zachar animal, so how do you know which carbon it is, right? So it's gender related. If you find a zecharim, you assume it's a carbon oila, which comes only as a zachar. Zecharim is presumed to be oilas. If what you found is a nekeva, right? Nekevas, then you assume it's a shlamim, which can come in a nekeva form. Nekeva is zivchei shlamim. Asks the Gemara, so if it's a zachar, it's automatically treated like an oila? Why? You could bring shlamim from either zachar or nekeva. So you still have both possibilities. Elo zacharim. So if you found a zachar, you automatically assume that it's oila su dahavu, but not a shlamim. Zivchei shlamim lehavu. Why? Amar v'esha, you're right. We don't mean that it's automatically treated like an oila, not like a shlamim. And actually, we're not even bringing this carbon on the Mizbeach. We're speaking about a generous fellow who's going to offer his own funds to address this confusion. He's going to commit the value of the carbon. He's committing the value of the carbon. And that's the discussion. That's what we're talking about. The Mishnah means Chayshinan Shema Oilis. When we find a Zachar, you have to be concerned about both possibilities. Perhaps it's a shlamim, perhaps it's an oila. So how do you get around it? A fellow puts forth twice the value of the carbon. So let's say the carbon is worth $100. He'll put down $200. He'll be mechalel. He's going to transfer the kedusha from the actual carbon here, which we're not sure about, whether it's an oila or a shlamim. He's going to transfer that kedusha onto these monies as follows. If this carbon is really an oila, I want that kedusha to be transferred on pile of money A, which will then be used to purchase a carbon oila instead of that first one. If this animal is actually a shlamim, I would like the kedusha of that shlamim to be transferred over to pile of money B, which will then be used to purchase a carbon shlamim. So he's doing chilul, b'mezid. He's willingly, actually, sort of manually transferring the kedusha from this animal, from this, unidentifiable carbon, onto other monies in a way which satisfies all options and all possibilities. For Rabbi Meir, how could you be mechalel b'mezid? That's Rabbi Meir Shita, which we learned yesterday. The Amar Hegdish b'mezid mischalel. Yeah. If you take Hegdish and you machalel it willingly, knowingly, b'mezid, it works. And then you can, you know, just take this this animal and, you know, use it as an ordinary animal. The Kedusha had been transferred to the Damim, to the money. So this is a perfect solution. Two piles of money. You do a chilul conditional upon what the actual Kedusha is. And then you take both monies, bring two karbanes, one oila, one shlamim. And as Rashi explains, you make it tonight. If this pile of money is really the money that's kadesh, so it's really meant to be an oila, so this is the original, this is in lieu of the original oila, and the other monies here that I'm reusing for shlamim, that's just like a donation. If the original carbon was really the shlamim, and that's the kedusha that got transferred on pile of money B, which is now being brought instead of the original carbon, so that's the, you know, true kedusha, and the other pile of money on the other side, which is now going to be used to purchase an oila, it's just a donation. So either way, we addressed the lost and ultimately found carbon. Now, it's a bit surprising that you can actually be mechalel a carbon. We have an animal, unblemished. It's a tum, perfect carbon found on the street, right? So you're gonna go and be mechalel its kedusha. Can that work? Ukedushas aguf mimeschalel. You see, when we speak about kedushas damim, let's say a utensil, an item, or even an animal that has a mum, a blemish, in which case it's not really fit for hakrava. So, at most, it has limited kedusha. It's monetarily kaddish. It has kedusha in terms of its use, of its value, of its monetary value. So, when such a thing is misused and diverted for personal use, chilul takes place, because ultimately, its kedusha was merely value-related, use-related, function-related. And when you misuse that function, when you redirect that use to personal use, you have committed me'ila, you have affected chilul. Chilul means like chalal, a vacuum. You have vacuumed out the kedusha. Right? But when something is inherently kaddish, like a carbon, which is through and through, it's an essence of kedusha. Not kaddish because of, you know, it is inherently kaddish, or a clay sharis, utensil which serves karbonis. Same story. It's inherently kaddish is haguf. The item itself is kaddish because it is inherently an item of kaddisha. You can't be mechalal it. And likewise over here, you have a carbon found on the road. It's a perfect carbon with kaddish haguf. How can you go and be mechalal it to these monies? So that's the kasha coming up. Asks the Gemara, Kedush Saguf mi Meschalil? Atnan, we have a Mishnah. Ein Moel achar Moel. Bimugdoshin. You can't have one Me'ilah after the other. Once, you know, Reuven commits Me'ilah, he misuses a Hegdish item for personal use, that item now leaves the domain of Kedush, it loses its Kedusha, it's been redirected. The Kedusha has left the item, and you know, the person is responsible to compensate the Hegdush, of course, but the item now lost its Kedusha. And now, when fellow number B comes over, fellow, you know, let's call him Shimon, follows Reuven to the same item and misuses it, the item is no longer going to generate Me'ilah because it's already lost its Me'ilah, its Kedusha. So there's no double Me'ilah, there's no Me'ila achar me'ila. B'mugdashin. Elo b'behemu u'b'chlei shoris b'lvad. That's only when it comes to something which is kedushas damim. It lost its kedusha when it was misused the first time. Because its value was diverted. But when it comes to something which has inherent kedusha like behemu u'chlei shoris, then, you know, you can have me'ila achar me'ila endlessly, because even if Reuven used it, it still retained and maintained its kedusha. Ketzer, for instance, hayorecha v'algav behema. Reuven's riding on a behema of hegdish, so he commits me'ilah. Bochaveira Verochav. Shimon comes along and does the same. Bochaveira Verochav. Levi comes and does the same. Kulam Malu. They've all committed Mi'ilah. Because it's Kedusha Sakov, which maintains its Kedusha all throughout. Same thing with Klei Sharis. Hayesharis are because Shel Zav. Reuven decided to use Kais of Zahav, a Klei Sharis, for personal use. Bochaveira Veshasa. Bachaveira Vishasa, Shimon did the same, followed by Levi, Kulam Malu, they've all committed Mi'ilah. Bottom line, a Behema, a Klei Sharis, does not lose its Kedusha. There's no Chilul that takes place, even if it's abused and diverted for personal use. Back to our story with the animal discovered on the road. How can you be Mechalel Kedusha from a Kedusha Saguf onto that money? Doesn't work. Well, Hayi Rabbi Yudahi. Perhaps this Mishnah that we have just quoted, that you cannot be mechalal kedusha saguf, that's Rabbi Yudah speaking. And Rashi explains why we have some sort of indication that it's Rabbi Yudah. Okay, so what's Rabbi Yudah? HaRab Meir, whereas our Mishnah in Shkolam with the lost animals, Rabbi Meir speaking. So perhaps he holds that, yeah, you can be mechalal hegdish, bemezid, even by kedusha saguf. But why is that contingent upon Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? You know, true, we had a machlekes, a general machlekes, a fundamental machlekes regarding hilchais mi'ilah. Whether it's only by shogeg, that was Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Whether it's even by mezid, that was Rabbi Meir's shita. Discussed yesterday and the day before regarding our mishnah with kedusha. Okay. How is that dispute relevant to this question, which is a totally new realm, totally unrelated to the question of Shogeg and Mezid? This concept that Kedushas Hakuf cannot be diverted should be universal. They're not given to dispute, and certainly not relevant to that question of Shogeg and Mezid. So how can you sort of peg this Mishnah as Rabbi Yehuda and the other Mishnah as Rabbi Meir? Where do we find that there was even a discussion between these two Tanoim regarding this question of Kedusha Saguf getting Chilul? There is. It is connected, says the Gemara. But before that, just see the Kasha. Mid Rabbi Yehuda, well, why are you suggesting that Rabbi Meir would allow Chilul by Kedusha Saguf unlike Rabbi Yehuda? Mid Rabbi Yehuda, Nishmal Rabbi Meir. From the fact that Rabbi Yehuda holds, Nechilul does not happen by Kedusha Saguf. When it's done, b'shogeg, that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, the Mi'ilah happens b'shogeg, there's no Chilul on Kedusha Saguf. Well, for the same money, so to speak, and the same token, Rabbi Meir will hold by Mezit, there's no Chilul by Kedusha Saguf. Lav Amar Rabbi Yehuda, didn't Rabbi Yehuda tell us, Hegdesh b'shogeg mischalal, that although when one does Mi'ilah b'shogeg, Chilul does take place, but that's only by Kedushas Haguf, by Kedushas Damim. Kedushas Haguf like Maschala, but if it's Kedushas Haguf like the animal or the Klei Sharis, there's no Chilul that takes place, no change of status. Because Kedushas Haguf does not tolerate Chilul. So, in concept, Rabbi Meir should hold the same in his situation, the Rabbi Meir Nami, the Rabbi Meir as well. Avagav the Hegdesh Mezid Maschal, although he's speaking about doing Mi'ilah and Chilul B'mezid, that's his Shita, but it's all the same underlying point. Fine, so Rabbi Yehuda applies Chilul to Shogeg, Rabbi Meir applies Chilul to Mezid, but in terms of our question, can Kedushas HaGuf undergo Chilul? That's a universal question, unrelated to the question of Shogeg and Mezid. So Kedushas HaGuf le'maschla, according to Rabbi Meir as well, when it's B'mezid, which typically allows for Chilul, well, if it's Kedusha Saguf, it doesn't. So back to the question. Answer the Gemara, no. It is related. It is linked. You see, when the Mi'ilah was committed with Shogeg, such as in Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, we can very much understand that, it's a limited type of Mi'ilah. It was inadvertent. It was by accident, by mistake. So it has limited, capacity, so to speak, limited reach. Ha'sam leim kamachavan la'pokin. When it was done b'shogeg, His intention was not to actually, you know, divert this item and make it chulin. It was a shaygig. He didn't realize what he was doing. The Torah says, look, there's mila, there's a carbon, there's a consequence, even though it was shaygig. But it's ultimately just shaygig. So, it's limited. Hacha, but here, according to Rameer's approach to the halach of mila, that it's only by a mazit, ultimately he's trying to do what he's doing. He's trying to have it lose its kedusha. He's willingly, knowingly, purposely diverting it from kedusha to chulin. So it makes very much sense that it should work even by kedusha saguf. That's the svar of the Gemara. It's a stronger chil, it's a stronger mila. Therefore, we explained the Mishnah in Mishkalim very well. Found an animal. It's a zachar. Well, is it a oila? Is it a shlamim? No problem. Take some monies. Two piles of money. And be machalal, the kedusha of this animal, despite the fact that it's at least a guf, be machalal on these monies and address all your options. Well, says the Gemara, Eimar de Shamas le Rab Meir, Bekad de Sheikach. So this was Rabbi Yoshe's pshat, right? He explained that the Mishnah Shkolim follows Rab Meir, etc., etc. But perhaps when Rabbi Meir maintains that you can be mechalal b'mezid, maybe that's only by kachim kachim. You see, because Rashi brings that Rabbi Meir is known to have set his halacha by, for instance, items that belong to the building fund, kachim b'dekabais, which are truly, fully, you know, inherently kaddish. The same with kachim kachim, a higher form of carbon. So it perhaps over there, the chil b'mezid works. But b'kachim kal mishamas lei, who says it works by an animal which is suspected of containing a lower level of kedusha, like in the Mishnah Shkala, maybe it's a shlam. Who says this system can work? Well, of course, says the Gemara. Amar lei yahum rabbanon. So the certain chacham responded. His name was Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov Shimei. Kal v'chomer. Of course. Kachim kachim is chalim. Kachim kalim lekoshkin. If this works by kachim kachim, which were more sensitive to chilul and to meila, of course, it will have the same effect on kachim kalim, and the chilul works, and the system that we suggested with the Mishnah and Shkolim will be effective. It Marnami, we learned as well. Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Kiva, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Oymar Yarab Meir. Rabbi Meir would tell us that Hegdish b'mezid meschalal, b'shogegin meschalal, that chilul affects Hegdish only if it was done b'mezid, but by shogeg it doesn't work. And this is brought the reason is because the Pasuk speaks about ma'alam, ilam, ila is b'mezid, it means arrived from the Isha Soita. So that's his opinion. And of course, this chilul system affects any type of kedusha, echad kachim kalim. How do we know? Kal v'chomer. Kachim kachim is chalim, if it works by kachim kachim, which are a higher form of kedusha, kachim kalim lekoshkin, of course, it works by kachim kalim, and ultimately that's the correct pshat in the Mishnah and Shkolim. So again, we have a Mishnah, a fellow encounters an animal roaming your streets. If it's close enough to Yerushalayim to be presumed to have been a korban, we have to treat it as such. So if it's a zachar, the only way out is take some money, double the value of the carbon, and go like this. Say, if it's a oila, I want that tusha to be transferred to this pile of money, which will be brought for an oila. If it's a shlamim, I want it to be transferred to the other money, which will be brought for a shlamim, and you bring both batches of money. One is the obligatory one is the sort of donation, and you're good to go. So that's Rabbi Yoshe's pshat in that Mishnah and Shkolim. Tohiba Rabbi Yechon Rechon wasn't happy with this. He delved deeper into this and he challenged this this solution. Basically, you're telling this fellow to commit an Isser. You see, technically we explained Chilul b'mezid works, even Makdushas HaGuf, we discussed it in great length. We proved that our mayor holds that ultimately it's effective, it works. But it's not recommended. Rashi brings you're not allowed to be Mechalel Kedusha from a behema, which is a carbon and is still unblemished. A Baal Mum, okay. But a behema Tmima, you're not allowed to. Rashi brings a Pasuk. So this nice fellow, who's trying to be accommodating and generous, he's actually doing something wrong. Do we advise a person to go do something wrong in order to accommodate the animal. Amoid v'chate, go do a chet, do chilul on a karban b'shvil shatiske in order to be zayche and bring karbanos. I better just back off and stay put. Elam Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan has a totally different approach to the Mishnah. We're not going to be makriv that carbon because we don't know what it is. Is it an oil? Is it a shlam? Nor are we going to take money and transfer the kedusha. That's also not advisable. Rather, mamtin la'acha tumam. You wait around patiently until this animal gets a blemish, which makes it unfit for akrava, which downgrades its status from kedushas haguf. It's no longer inherently kadosh. It's not ready for akrava, and it turns into kedushas damim. It's merely monetarily kadosh. Its value is kadosh, which allows for chilul legally. Now he brings two animals, lines them up side by side near this lost animal, umasna, and declares as follows. Makes a condition. He says, look, this animal was really an oila. I want that value to be transferred to animal A, and that's going to be brought as an oila. And animal B will be brought as a shlamim, as a donation. If in fact this lost animal was really a shlamim, so now it's a balmum, it's only kedushas haguf, hadomim, I'm going to take that value and transfer it to animal B standing here, which is going to be brought as a shlamim, and animal A I'll donate as my donation, as my oila donation. Very fair, straightforward solution without getting entangled in any isurim. So bottom line, this fellow found an animal, we're not sure what it is. We have Rabbi Yeshua's solution, Rabbi Yechanan's solution. Amar, so what did the Mishnah tell us? Zacharim oilais. So you have a zachar, you assume it's an oila. Well, says the Gemara, Dilma toida hi. Maybe it's a carbon toida. Demaisi nami toida. Oh, he has to bring in a third animal. So instead of lining up two animals to accommodate a possible oila, a possible shlamim, he has to bring a third animal as well, just in case it was a toida. And he follows through the same formula. He's machalo the kedusha on this third animal on the chance that it's a toida. But toida has to come along with breads. He brings along breads. So bottom line, you find a zachar on the road, you got to line up three karbanis, just in case it's an oila, a shlamim, or a toida. Well, there's a fourth option as well. Maybe it's an asham. V'dilma asham, who? Asham be'shtei shanim. No, an asham has to be within the second year of its birth. When we say shtei shanim, it doesn't mean 2 years, like what we call today 2 years old. It's already past 2 years. It means within the second year. So an asham is typically 2 years old. V'yishtakach ben shanim. This one is 1 year old. So it cannot be an asham. V'dilma asham etzayruhu. Asham nazar. We have two types of ashamis that a metzayruh brings, that a nazar brings, which are meant to be young, so maybe this is Asham Metzeruhu or Asham Nazruhu. Those aren't, common. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned with that possibility. Well, maybe this lost animal was really a carbon Pesach, and it has its own set of rules. Pesach bezmano yimizar zehiri be. It depends. If the Pesach is still, ro'i for Pesach, it's still, going to be brought as a carbon Pesach, people would not let it wander and get lost. So it's unlikely that this is a carbon Pesach. So maybe it's already after the Yom Tov of Pesach, and then it got lost. Or Shlomim, the halacha is that the Pesach passed its man, reversed to Shlomim, and well, great. So if it's a Shlomim, we've already addressed that possibility before. Matthias asks the kasha, well, if people are so careful with the carbon Pesach, how is it lost? How did it ever get to Shleib Ismanai? We're saying people are careful, right? So, if it's before the Yom Tov, they're careful. If it's after the Yom Tov, then, how did it ever get to the point that it's past Yom Tov? Why weren't they looking after this carbon? What happened? So he brings a couple of answers. First of all, maybe the Pesach was, the carbon wasn't well, it was weak, he couldn't do the Shechita, or maybe the owner got Tomei, or maybe he was mafresh two carbonis Pesach, one for the actual, one for a backup, and now it's an extra one, and it's available for a Shlomim. Okay, so that's been addressed. What about one more question? Maybe this lost animal was really a bechor, firstborn, or maser behem, a tenth of the of the count. So it's kaddish, a totally different kedusha. We haven't addressed that possibility. Well, lomai hilchasa. What's the point of concern here? Meaning, what would be different about a bechor and maser? What are the obligations? What do you have to do? L'michlenu b'mumen. Now we're speaking that ultimately, you got a mum here, right? Right? That's what happened, the quench of Yechanan. You waited for it to get a mum. So, Hachanami, b'mum mis'achli, meaning, b'char and maser, which are blemished, can be eaten by their owners without need to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. That's exactly what's happening here. He waited until the animal got a mum, and he'll eat it, and even if it's a b'char and maser, you're still okay. Okay, so bottom line, you find the Zachar, quench of Yechanan, you line up three animals after the animal got a mum, which allows for transfer of Kedusha. You line up three animals, one to account for the Oila, one for the Shlomim, and one for the Taida. The other options are not a concern. The other possibilities are not realistic and not a concern. What if you find an Akeva, Amarmar? So we learned about an Akeva, we treat them like Zivche Shlomim. Why? Dema Taida. Maybe it's a Taida. Oh, the Maisi Taida, you're right. You bring another animal next to it, and you transfer the Kedusha's Toida just in case it's a Toida as well. But being a Lechem, what happened to the bread? The Maisin on the Lechem, it brings the bread as well. 1 second, says the Gemara, there's another possibility. Chatos. Vidilma Chatosi. Maybe this animal was originally a Chatos. How are you going to address that? You see, you can't take another animal and place it next to this one and say, well, if the original one was a Chatos, which now has a mum, let the Kedusha be transferred to this animal here, a new one, and I'll bring it as a chatas. And even if it's not really meant to be a chatas, I'll bring the new chatas anyways as a nadava. You can't bring a chatas nadava. So what are you going to do? V'domo chatasi. Chatas bashnasa. Yishtakach bashteshan. Very simple. A chatas is meant to be bashnasa, within a year of its birth. Right? The Torah says Nekeva Minatzoin Kispa. Rashi says Kispa is Bashnasai. Okay, and he found one that's already past a year old. Vishtakach Vashteshanim. So it's inconceivable that it's really a Chatas. Why not? Vaduma Chatas Sh'over Shnasa. Maybe it was a Chatas, but it's been roaming around for so long and went past its birthday. Lo Yishchiach, it's not common. Ishtakach Bas Shnasa Mai. Okay, let's say he does find a young animal. So maybe it's a chatas. So how do we address that concern? And so it's the Gemara, Tanya, we have a Braisa, Tanya, Chananya, Ben Chachinai, Omer. You're right. If it's an Eiz Bash Shnasa, if you find a goat, a young goat, L'chatas, you treat it as a chatas. L'chatas, HaKataydach, really as a chatas? You can't just bring a carbon as a chatas if you don't know that it is one, right? And again, you can't do the tnai because you can't bring a chatas donation. So what are you going to do? What do you mean literally you bring it as a chatas? No, it doesn't mean literally. Amar Abaye, it means like this. In some way, we treat it as a chatas. Ki chatas. Which means that, like we said before, we address all the other possibilities. We transfer the kedusha to other animals. In case it's an oila, here's an oila. In case it's a shlam, here's a shlam. In case it's a chayda, right? And regarding the concern that it may be a chatas, which really doesn't have a solution, so we just let it die. Kainzel, a kippah, we take it into this place called a kippah, this like sort of dome. It's like we lock it up, basically, without feeding it. Vimeisei melech, it just dies. And that's the way we address that chatas concern. So bottom line, we have a Mishnah. A fellow bumps into an animal walking on the road within close vicinity to Yerushalayim, which arouses suspicion that, in fact, it's a carbon animal. Problem is, we don't know which carbon it is. So it depends on the gender of the carbon, of the animal. If it's a zachar, we're concerned that it might be one of three karbanis. Oila, shlamim, or toida. If it's an akeva, the concern there is that it might be shlamim or toida. Now, how do we solve this problem? We have two approaches. Kotev Ishia. We have a generous fellow who takes his own money and offers it as chilul money. Basically, he's going to take the kedusha from this animal, which has kedusha saguf, and it's going to be mechal b'mezer on this money, as per all these possibilities. Rabbi Yechanan disagreed. It's not an option. It's not correct to suggest chilul on a behemah tmima. Rather, you wait until it gets a mum, and now you line up other animals alongside this original one, and you do the transfer, you do the chilul, which now is perfectly legal, because it's a bal mum, which allows for chilul, and that's the best solution, which addresses all possibilities. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.